This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chip will be back in the Star Tribune tomorrow. Chip Scoggins joins us every Monday after a Vikings game or potentially the day after. Chip's with us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. I was a pleasure, sir. Let's talk about Mike Zimmer. I saw some of the comments on Twitter. Sounds like the head coach is not real happy with Chris Jones in his complete non-attempt to tackle Pollard on the 42-yard run for a touchdown yesterday by the Cowboys.
Yeah, and Zimmer was talking about some of the defensive breakdowns that they had, and he said, you know, we had to miss tackle on the 40-yard touchdown run. So I circle back. I was like, I don't know if it was a missed tackle, but did you have an issue with his do you have a problem with his effort? And he said, yeah, I did have a problem with it. And I asked him, followed up and said if he's addressed it with him, and he said he had. So we'll see if he stays on the team. I wouldn't be surprised either way. I could see him cutting him, but, you know, knowing where they're at with their secondary, with the injuries and everything,
they may have
to hang on to him. But I don't think you're going to see him on the field anytime soon unless it's an absolute emergency. I believe – and I wasn't at the game yesterday, so I couldn't follow closely, but I'm guessing he didn't play again after that. I think he did get benched. So
I think that's right.
I'm guessing his time is limited here after that. You just can't. And here's the thing, Chad. Imagine being in that player's meeting room watching film today and seeing that. If you're Eric Kendricks or Harrison Smith, I think you'd have a real problem with that.
I agree with you 100% on all of them. Because I think if it's almost any other circumstance, especially a cornerback, right? I mean, Zimmer's bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And as much time as he spends on all the techniques, including tackling, when a guy just said, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it. He was right there. He looked like me and you. It was just like, nope, I'm not there. That's inexcusable.
That is unforgivable
from his teammates, Chip.
Yeah, that and there's certain things in football, you know, that wasn't being too slow or not a very good tackler or not a very good player. That's just a guy who didn't want to try. And that's just inexcusable. I mean, I don't know how you could look at your team and knowing the sport that is and just the pride they take on effort and to not even try and just let a guy run right by you and score a touchdown. If I was Chris Jones, I probably would tiptoe back into the facility and try to hide because your teammates are going to get on you on that one.
Well, we saw him tiptoeing yesterday, so he's fully capable of doing that.
That's right. Yeah.
The defense.
Yeah.
The defense, the last 3-4 weeks, made some significant progress, right? And the defensive line looked pretty good. Kendricks is just Kendricks. I mean, he's just so good. Wilson seemingly was doing a very good job replacing Barr, and the cornerbacks were having moments. They didn't face Dak Prescott. They didn't face Troy Aikman. They faced your guy, Andy Dalton, and he still is Andy Dalton, and they moved up and down the field at will. What the hell happened?
Well, and here's the thing, Chad. This is what I've been kind of wrestling with. And maybe it wasn't fair. Maybe it's not completely fair. But let's go back to the 3 weeks. You faced Green Bay in 50-mile-an-hour winds. And so that affected both. And so that clearly affected the offense. Now, it's still Aaron Rodgers.
Sure.
But everybody said they couldn't run the same offense. Then you face the Lions, and they're horrible. Then you faced maybe the worst offense I've ever seen in NFL in the Bears. And so they did play better, and they made strides, and I'm not putting them down and saying they didn't get better. But doesn't that come with a little bit of an asterisk? And so you face a, you're a veteran quarterback, not a great quarterback, but a really good running back and a really good offensive line and some really good receivers. And all of a sudden, the progress that we thought they were making on defense doesn't look so shiny anymore. And so, and I thought Dallas, you know, at the end of the first half, instead of taking another shot, they could have gotten more points there.
I'm surprised.
You know, and they had a, what's that third and one they had where they tried two pass plays and didn't give it to Zeke? So it felt like they left some points on the field too. And so I know, and I'm sure we'll get to Cousins, and you know, it surprises me that people are ripping him to the degree that they are. But this was not an offensive problem; it was absolutely on Mike Zimmer's defense.
No, well, let's get to Cousins right here. Cousins during this stretch has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought yesterday, and you know the two of us have been hard on the guy when we've been talking, I thought he was great yesterday. I thought he just made some great throws. I thought their pass protection the first 2.5 quarters was abysmal.
Yes.
And he was smartly running. He was making moves in the pocket. He made, whether it was the drop in the bucket throws or in tight spots, he was really good. Now, I get it. Last drive, they didn't score. When they had been moving up and down the field, they scored the first three times in the second half. Again, I just didn't see – I mean, Jefferson drops a very catchable one, which is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to cut the guy. It happened to take place at a bad time. The other throw – maybe I'm just missing it. Was there a play on that? Those last four plays where you said, Kirk, what are you doing?
No, and there were actually a couple of nice defensive plays in there. I know the one pass right up on Thielen, and so you got to credit them too. And you know, I saw some things on Twitter today. It was like, wow, you look at Patrick Mahomes last night, and you knew that they were going to. But if you're comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, I'm sorry,
exactly.
You know,
I know what I look like? I look just like Denzel Washington did. So. I mean, it's about as close.
But I get it. You're paying him $30 million, and you expect him to be Patrick Mahomes, but he's not.
He's not.
He is, and so if that's going to be the bar, you're going to be disappointed every day of the week. I thought he played well. Ideally, would he be marching down the field? Yeah,
every single game you take that.
Here's the thing, Ted. He played winning football. The defense did not. And that's what it comes down to me. I mean, look at the throws he made. Hey, I agree with you on the pressure. I mean, there are a number of times where the you know, it was coming up the gut, and he held on to the last second, made some nice throws, which isn't typically something we see from him. And
no.
So I think he's been in a good rhythm with Kubiak the last month in terms of play calling, play design, run, pass, mix. I feel like the offense is in a pretty good spot.
Chip Scoggins is here. Okay, let's compare catches here within the game. The catch that CeeDee Lamb makes when he contorts his body.
Yeah.
And briefly, it's a one-handed catch. And then the Thielen touchdown catch where he runs. You can't forget what a great route he ran.
Yeah.
And then makes just this stupefying one-handed catch, including when he goes down on the field and can't brace himself at all. I mean, two of the best catches you're going to see the entire year in the league.
Yeah, I felt like this one for Thielen was better than the Chicago one. Because that one was on him and he was falling down to hit him right there. This one you have to stick your hand up and still bring it back into your body. But the Lamb one, to be able to turn your body that way when you're already laid out, you just don't see that. And I don't ever want to say one-handed catch is routine, but we see that more than I think we saw, than we see what Lamb did, just to be diving in. Be able to contort your body when you're like horizontal to the ground. That was incredible. And he is a good player, huh?
Oh,
but man, think about all the good receivers that came out with him and Jefferson, and what a class that was. And Jefferson looks like a star. I know we rave about him every week, but he just does not play like a rookie. Just the different catches and routes and just kind of expertise that he shows at that position already, I think he's going to be a star for years in this offense.
And the guy they traded to get him is having an amazing year, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Diggs is, I mean, it's such a cliche, but it worked out both ways, right?
Sure.
Diggs didn't want to be here. They get Jefferson, and they get some other assets. So it worked out pretty well. Let's talk Dalvin. Dalvin, again, had moments where, just to remind us how tough he is. Mm-hmm. You know, the times he got hit, that one time he got hit and was down, I thought it was pretty significant. I obviously was wrong. The thing I want to bring up again, you know, Madison is a good backup. You know, he's not Dalvin. We've established that. But Dalvin, again, 32 touches.
Yeah.
Are they telling us that Dalvin is just that good, or are they telling us they don't believe in Madison as much as we thought they did?
I think they're telling us they were desperate to get to the playoffs, and they saw an avenue there. I will be curious now. This doesn't knock him out of the playoffs, but it certainly feels a lot different today than it did last week, right?
It does to us, but I don't think it will to Zimmer. Do you?
Yesterday was the first time where I felt like, man, he took a real punishment. Dallas, they had some heavy hitters on that side, whether it's Thielen hit, Dalvin a couple times. They were really physical yesterday, and that felt like, you know what, this is not sustainable. He just cannot continue to take these kind of hits. And so I will be curious this week if we see more Madison, if that's almost an acknowledgement that, okay, now it's a really, really long shot and we can't, you know, you'd like to have Dalvin for next year too and beyond. And so if you keep adding up all these hits and you really run him in the ground this year, is he going to be able to bounce back next year and, you know, have the kind of year that you, this team needs to have? And so, I think this coming week is going to be a real indicator of how they view the season, because you have to take your foot off the gas a little bit with him, right? Because I don't know if he'll make it to the end of the season if you don't.
I think they should. I don't think he will, but I'm on your side. Harrison Smith, let's talk him a little bit. He's still a great player, but there were a couple plays. I mean, again, I don't understand the penalty. Don't understand it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the last touchdown – another play where he went to the tight end and didn't stay with the wide receiver. Is that just unavoidable when we notice him so much because he's so good? Does that stand out any more with Smith?
You know what? The thing I wonder if he's trying to cover up for some of those cornerbacks and maybe do
someone
else's,
point.
Maybe do someone else's job too. And I don't know if that's the case. Maybe he just got fooled and made a wrong read, but there's part of me that wonders if he knows how vulnerable they are at those spots, and so he's almost trying to do two jobs at once, and it's, you know, it's burned him a couple times. So I think there is probably some of that going on. The hits I don't get. I mean, you can tell he's at wit's end about that, but I don't think there. I don't know that there's a drop off that we're seeing. I think it's more probably what I was talking about, that he's trying to help guys. You know, in spots where he feels like they might be, you know, critical time, or just might be a little bit overmatched.
Hang on, sir. We'll take a short pause. Come back. Chip is with us. Chip Scoggin, Star Tribune. Check him out with the paper and on Twitter. We'll talk Gopher football when we return. I just found out the news. Shaletta is in for Paul and Jordana, so buckle up, 3-6. I know I'm shocked. Before we get back to Chip, another legal loss for the Trump team in Pennsylvania on absentee ballots. So the Trump team record in court, 2 wins, 35 losses. 2 wins, 35 losses. Yeah, keep telling me the evidence is about to start coming in. No, it's not. The evidence in court is being dismissed quickly on a regular basis. Chip Scoggins on now the Gophers. Okay, the pass interference call. When we're watching it, you're watching it at the bank, I'm watching it at home. We then watch the replay, and we all think this might be the worst call in the history of sports. When we then ended up getting that one shot up top where it shows the Purdue tight end extending his arm, that changes it to some level. How much does it change it for? It certainly goes from it's no longer the worst call ever.
Yeah.
Now, did you see enough, and how do you view it?
Yeah, at first glance, you're thinking this can't be real. I can't believe the throw.
Yeah.
But then you see that and you think, you know what? I wouldn't have called it in that situation. I don't know that it was enough there, that game on the line, that dramatically affected that play. Probably wouldn't have called it. I always like to look at it this way. If you're a fan base, think of how you would react if it was the opposite. And what do you think the Gophers would have said today? You know, it's the worst call ever. Mm-hmm. And so, it definitely toned it down a little bit, but I still think it was the wrong call. And it's funny, PJ today on Zoom, he's saying, you know, there's 160 plays in that game, and everybody's focusing on one. It's like, well, yeah.
Can't imagine why. Can't imagine why. Okay, so let's
talk about this. You know, the pass interference a couple series before on
yes.
with Howden was
terrible.
Horrible, too, and the guy was throwing it away. So it was not a good night for that crew, Chad.
Terrible. They were terrible. Okay, so let's talk about playing the game. He says on the Zoom, you were very Zoom busy today, by the way.
Yes.
So what did he say? About half the guys were out because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't want to say if it was 11, 12, whatever it might have been. You know, then we have Florida State and Clemson, and Dabo's all upset because Florida State wouldn't play the game, and it was one player from Clemson. I mean, we don't have uniformity on this.
Correct.
We don't have it even conference to conference. I don't get – I mean, I want to see it. I want also it to be smart, and I get money's a part of it. Do you get even in the Big Ten why that was okay with let's say it's exactly half. With 11, that was okay, but then earlier Wisconsin didn't play when the first time it was six players and six coaches?
Yeah, it is weird. And I asked PJ after the game, I said, you know, what would you say to people that were saying, how and why is this game even played? And he said, because we didn't meet the threshold. You know, the Big Ten came out with the threshold that it's whatever the percentage is. Is it 10%? I can't remember the number. But
I think it's 5% for players over a seven-day period. But then when you include everybody,
sure,
it's 7.5%.
7%, yeah. And it goes, you know, red, green, orange, whatever you fall in that category.
Right.
And so, but it didn't meet that threshold. And that's the thing. With where we're at right now, and PJ has said today, and he's right, you know, you see 20 guys are out, and you automatically assume, oh my gosh, they had 20, they have an outbreak in the team. Why are they playing? Well, half of those are injured. A number of those we know have been out for 2 weeks that they tested, so they're at the end of it because they have the 21 days, which,
right.
I think that's excessive myself. But so they're at different times, so they may only had, you know, a handful, three or four more, than that tested positive that week. And so it's, you know, and then, you know, they've made the policy that they're not going to tell you numbers. And so it creates even more confusion. Is the guy hurt? Has he opted out? Did he have COVID this week, last week? And so,
is everybody pretty much doing?
Well,
I guess everybody
different.
Isn't doing that. Right.
No, it's different. Yeah. I mean, every school, you know, Wisconsin, when they had that outbreak,
Wisconsin,
said, here's this many this week. But then a lot of schools are saying, we're not telling you. We'll just, you know, we'll tell you when we get to the game, and we're not saying if it's injury or COVID. And so that kind of creates a little chaos, too. But basically, when it comes down to it, they just didn't meet the threshold for canceling a game. Now, the Wisconsin one, you remember, that caused the uproar in Nebraska because they hadn't met that threshold, but it was – you know, by the end of that week, Chad, it was like four coaches or five coaches and 10 players. So it was like, I think they saw what was coming through contact tracing, probably, that they were going to get hit with a bunch of positives.
Yeah, because the next week, it was like 20.
Yeah, so I think they probably had a pretty good grasp of, uh-oh, this is coming. And so they just said, it may not be here now, but in 4 days from now, it's going to be. And, you know, the Clemson one's weird where you fire Florida State and then you say, guess what, we're not playing because you had one player. I'm not sure I would have handled it the way Dabo Swinney did, just saying they're ducking them. But that's probably not the most, politically correct thing to say right now. But it's, just the lack of uniformity from conference to conference, I think, is, you know, kind of complicated how we view this.
What did you think of Tanner Morgan, Friday?
I thought he looked like Tanner from 2019. I mean, he looked – and their offense looked different. It looked like they went back to pass patterns and routes and things that we saw last year with quick hitting, the slants, the RPOs. It just felt like last year. And so that was a good sign. Obviously, Purdue's not Iowa defensively, so Purdue's defense is terrible. But But I felt like he was more assertive, more confident, and he just looked like himself again.
You know, I also would like to go back to 2019 is Kirk Shiraka.
How about that one?
Wow, Penn State is terrible.
I assume because it's the pandemic and everything that there's, you know, a longer runway for coaches, but I wonder what the grumbling's like in Happy Valley right now when
not quiet.
First time in program history they're 0-5, so
I believe that's right.
That's sure not good. That. Yeah, Shiraka might want a do over on that one.
Exactly. All right, brother. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. We'll see you next week.
At Chip Scoggins in the Star Tribune on a regular basis, including tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.